Advent. And Advent means coming. We are awaiting the coming of Christ, our Savior. And this Advent season, it leads up to Christmas Day, and there's different themes that we're looking at. Last week we looked at hope, and today we're looking at peace. And then joy and love are themes of Advent. And so those are just ways that we're thinking about the coming of Christ, and we're thinking about how He is for all and how He's for us. And so some of the messages we're going to be looking at, we looked last week about how the angels spoke to both Mary and Joseph and giving them messages of hope, this confident expectation of God, this confident expectation that God's always going to bring about what He said He would promise, even though it seems sometimes impossible. And so nothing is impossible with God is what the angel told Mary. And so we see that hope is possible for believers because nothing is impossible with God. And that's our hope. We know that God does the impossible. And so we have hope that we are going to be with Jesus for those that trust Jesus and have their life in Jesus, that the coming of Jesus, when He comes again, He will bring us to His home, and we will be with Him for all eternity. And we can celebrate that. But today we're going to be looking at another passage. We're going to be looking at the story from Luke 2. But let me first ask you a question.
This question.
Yeah, it's on. The question. Okay, I'll stay up here for a minute. All right, the question is, what do these people have in common? All these people, what do they have in common? Now, I want you to think of the answer. Moses, David, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, his wife, Rachel, Jacob and Rachel's kids, the 12 tribes of Israel. And then even people like Lot, Abel, Amos,
Zechariah.
All those people. What do you think they had in common? Just yell it out if you know. Yeah? Yeah, they were all from Adam. Good job. That's one thing they had in common. Something else? They're all sinners like us. Good. All right. More things that they have in common. They were all in the Old Testament. They were all waiting for a Savior to come. Thank you, Kenny. They were all waiting for a Savior to come, but our Savior has come. These guys, these men and some women, they were all shepherds. Now, we usually don't think about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David, Moses, all these people as shepherds, but they were all shepherds. And all these people, because shepherding was a really important job, because someone had to watch the sheep. Someone had to take care of the sheep. Now, it wasn't that it was King David as a shepherd. It was when he was the youngest kid doing the thing that no one really wanted to do. But it wasn't always the best job. But it was something that a lot of people did. And so we're going to see in Luke chapter 2, verses, just starting in verse 8 this morning, about an angelic message. And it's a very common story that we hear about at Christmas, but it says this in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Now, these shepherds, they were out at night, because they were out all the time watching their sheep. And these shepherds, of course, they were terrified when they saw the angels, but they were very, first of all, they were not expecting visitors, maybe a wolf or, you know, some kind of predator, but they were not expecting look up in the sky and to see an angel, and then later angels, a choir of angels. And so these shepherds, they were surprised at this arrival of this angel. And so just like last week, we're going to be looking at the
special from The Chosen, this TV special called Holy Night, and we're going to look at a few clips. Now, we don't know a whole lot of what happened with the shepherds that the angels appeared to that night before that, right? We know what happens after, but we don't know a whole lot of their background. So these are just some imagined scenes from the creators of The Chosen. And we do know that shepherds in those days, now I know I said all these famous Old Testament people that were shepherds, but especially the time of Jesus, so 400 years after the Old Testament had been completed, and now in the time of Jesus, historians and scholars, they all agree that the shepherds were considered very low. They were considered, you know, in the grand scheme of things, in the social structure of society, they were considered kind of the outcasts. They were considered the ones that weren't really accepted. You know, it was kind of an uninspiring job. It was not something that people really wanted to do. Often shepherds were poor. They were kind of out of the loop of everyday activity, of social life, and so they were kind of awkward. They also might have been uneducated and kind of also considered, because they were always with the sheep, they might have been considered to be unclean. You know, they're just kind of dirty, not taking care of themselves. So people didn't really love to be around them, it seemed. Now, if you notice from this clip, this shepherd here, you know, when he came to the water, to the well, to get water for his flock, and he was filling his canteen, the people there that were there, they got away. They weren't happy to see the shepherds. And in fact, they were even disgusted by the shepherds. They're moving away from them, leaving them, refusing to engage in conversation. They didn't want to be around the shepherds, because shepherds were usually rejected socially. You know, socially, they were considered kind of like outcasts. There was just this rejection of shepherds. People didn't want to be around them. It wasn't a good job. It wasn't something that is like, hey, the best of our family, let's go out in the fields with the sheep. Now, the sheep needed to be watched, and so that's why there was the job of shepherding. And Jesus talks a lot in the Bible, in the New Testament, about the shepherding and the good shepherd, as Jesus is the good shepherd. But often we don't think about, maybe I don't think about, that the shepherds were not in a good social standing. Now, can you imagine being rejected socially? You know, what happens? I mean, that's you have dealing with hurt, pain. Now, I know you guys probably aren't shepherds, unless you're in a shepherd in a Christmas play or something like that. Maybe you have some sheep, but most likely you're not out in the fields with them. But I think we can relate to the shepherds as, you know, they faced some rejection. And sometimes we face rejection. Sometimes we feel the pain of not fitting in, of being in social situations, not one of the most popular, or people kind of rejecting us, or maybe having disgust in us. Maybe, hopefully not. But it really hurts. That hurts. And what happens when that kind of happens, and you're in a social situation where you're feeling rejected, often the message that comes in your mind is, I have little worth. Maybe even I'm worth less. I'm unwanted, unloved, and like the shepherds, unclean. Now, it was even worse for the shepherds than what we're even kind of acknowledging right here. Now, we're going to look at another scene of the shepherds, and this time they make their way to the town of Bethlehem. They're visiting the marketplace to see if anyone would purchase their lamb from their flock. Now, the reason that someone would purchase a lamb from their flock was to provide the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice. It wasn't just that it was a very social rejection, but they also felt rejected on a spiritual level. We can see here this rejection from a one of the Pharisees. So shepherds were often rejected spiritually. And this Pharisee said, it's because of people like you that the Messiah hasn't come. I mean, that is damaging. That is terrible, right? Is it because of people like whoever that the Messiah hasn't come? No. But that was that's what was being told. Things like that, we don't know exactly, but things like that could have been said. And that's where we can see this rejection on a spiritual level. And there's this clear message that due to your sin, due to your problems, due to the things that you've said and done or left undone, it's people like you that disgust God. You disgust God, and God will never come to you because you're disgusting. And that is so far from the truth. That is so far from the truth. But these shepherds, they were dealing with this rejection. They were dealing with this rejection socially and spiritually. And these messages probably wouldn't have been that hard to believe if you were a shepherd, especially if you had a physical condition. And this physical condition, you know, even later on when Jesus is with his disciples, they, in John chapter 9, they encounter this blind man, and the disciples are asking Jesus, who sinned to make such a condition a reality? So they were saying, was it him or his parents? Why was he disabled? Was he blind because of his sin or because of his parents' sin? Which one? And the answer is like, wait a minute, that's not how things work around here. And so that kind of thought was this thought that if you have some kind of injury, if some kind of disableness, then it's because of something. It's because of something you did or something your parents did. And Jesus said, no. In John 9, Jesus said, he was like this to give glory to God because then Jesus healed the blind man. But back to the shepherds. Here he's nursing this wound that's running deeper than just his forearm. It's running deeper. It's coming. It's hurting him. But you know what? Sin is a very real thing. And God is not pleased with sin. And sin is not something that we like to talk about. Sin separates us from God. And it's hard to think about this. But sin does need to be paid for. Because sin destroys the world that God created. It corrupts God's world. It corrupts God's people. And each person that has come into the world has all sinned. Each person in God's world has all rejected God, has all said in their hearts that I can do better. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to go my own way. My way is better than God's way. And because of sin, we have a consequence that's deserving death. And this religious leader, he was looking for this lamb without blemish, the spotless, this perfect lamb. But the perfect lamb could only do so much for the people's sin. Something or someone greater was needed than just this perfect lamb that was going to be sacrificed. Someone needed to lay down their life. Some perfect lamb of God would lay down their life to sacrifice their life to pay this price. And we know that that's Jesus. Jesus was the perfect lamb of God. Jesus was the one that laid down his life so that we could have life. Life in him. Life for this earth and life for all time. Now, these shepherds, they've only able to see how worse and worse things were getting for them. But what happened was unbelievable, because on the night that Jesus was born, even though the people rejected the shepherds socially, spiritually, even though they all rejected the shepherds, or often they did, we find in Luke 2, these group of shepherds that were there, that were on the hillside, they were just doing their normal shepherding job at night. And this angel appears to them. And of course, they were afraid. In verse 10, it says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace on those whom his favor rests.'" Verse 15, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" These angels, they announced the Messiah to a group of shepherds. These angels could have went to the king, could have went to the people, you know, the Pharisees, could have went to people that had been faithful and waiting for the Messiah, people that had been looking and praying and seeking after, when is the Messiah coming? The angels could have appeared to all kinds of people. You know, when you first have some really exciting news, you think about who you're going to tell. You know, like for us, we've had some kids. And when we have kids, we're like, actually, some of the times we actually even make a list. We're like, we want to make sure that these people find out about the news of our joyous birth. You know, and why do we set this list, or why do we, you know, make sure we call our parents, make sure the siblings and different people, and then friends and, you know, more people, right? Why do we want to, like, kind of control who hears first? Because it's this level of intimacy, this level of friendship, this level of excitement. You know, you definitely don't want someone that's close to you find out from someone else, "Hey, this is really exciting news. This really exciting news that's happened to this family. You know, can you believe it? They finally, you know, this news has happened." You know, this season is full of good news. I mean, Jesus is coming as a baby. My brother just had a baby, his wife just had a baby a couple weeks ago. So we're really excited about that. And the Ward family, that were missionaries in Southeast Asia, they just had a baby this week, baby Ezekiel. And so we're really excited for them. So there's this like excitement that happens, right? And you want to make sure that you're telling this exciting news to the right people, or the people kind of in order, right? And you would think the angels, or the God would have said, "Hey, God, you know, angels, go to these important people, and then tell these least important people later." But that's not our God. Our God, we can't predict how God's going to do things. And God doesn't see these shepherds as lowly people that doesn't matter. Remember, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Jesus came for all people, even the shepherds, even the outcasts, even the people that were unclean, even the people that were sinners and tax collectors, were breaking all of God's rules. Jesus came for them, but he also came for you and me. And we've all been in that situation where we've we've been so far from God because of our sin. Because of what we've done, we are separated from God. But God, He doesn't just look at, hey, let me find the important people first. Let me find the people that deserve it first. God came for you and me. And these messengers, these angels, they were like saying this, like God is saying, I know the battles within you. I know the war that you've waged against yourself, but you are of great worth. You are wanted. You are loved. And I am not overlooking you. I've not forgotten you. I'm not passing over by you. And you are not dismissed. And we can think sometimes the same things, that maybe we are unloved, we're unwanted, that we're not good enough, that we don't deserve Jesus. But all those things are false. All those things are so far from the truth, because the truth is that Jesus came for people like you and me. He came for all people, not just the most religious or the most this or that. In fact, often the most religious are often far, or can be far from, the heart of God. And we saw that in the New Testament with the Pharisees. They were so full of practicing their religion that they had forgotten the heart of God. They were more concerned about following all the rules than to understanding and letting God be in charge. So here we see that the shepherds, they experience God's favor and peace. You know, this is this peace that was announced by the angels. This choir of angels, they were seeing glory to God in the heaven, in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom His favor rests. Can you imagine these shepherds thinking, they're telling us. We must be the last to know, but they're telling us. And God was saying, my peace is with you. My peace is for those that are humble. My peace is for those who are seeking after me. My peace is Jesus Christ. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Jesus has an upside down kingdom, doesn't he? These shepherds probably didn't even realize they were the first. But their excitement was that they wanted to go and see what has happened. They wanted to go see what has happened. They've experienced God's favor and His peace, and they wanted it to continue. They wanted to go see. You know, this baby's going to grow up to be a man who once and for all will bind up the deepest wounds by laying down His life. By His wounds, the shepherds will be healed. By His wounds, we will be healed. Just like it was promised in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 53, says this, surely He took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered Him punished by God, stricken by Him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him. And by His wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. I love that Old Testament bringing to the New Testament this promise of the Messiah, this promise of Jesus, not just that He was going to be the Prince of Peace and the one that brings peace, but He was the one that took our sin and freed us. He was the one that was crushed and laid down His life. And by His wounds, we are healed. We are healed physically, emotionally, spiritually. We are healed when we bring it to Jesus. So whatever it is we need to bring to Jesus, let's bring to Jesus. You know, like sheep, it said, we've all gone astray. We've all turned our own way. But Jesus, he calls us back. And this shepherd we saw has been given so much peace. The battles that had been with this shepherd were going away because of the child, the Christ child, had been born on one holy night. But this peace is for you too. It wasn't just for them a couple thousand years ago. This is for us. We celebrate this peace that passes all understanding. This peace that we heard earlier, Jesus himself is our peace. And we saw how last week we looked at the hopelessness that we have when we don't turn to Jesus. And on this second day of Advent, we see that the coming of Jesus allows for a turning away from shame and instead towards peace, the peace of Jesus. You know, our main idea today is that all people can experience the peace that Jesus brings. Jesus brings peace, and he wants his peace to be for all. He doesn't want peace. He wants everyone to experience his peace. And so whatever is causing us anxiety, fear, rejection, wounds, whatever is causing us to be separated, that we're dealing with, let's bring those to Jesus so we can experience his peace that he brings, this peace that only comes with the Savior. And we can rejoice that he came to bring peace for us. You know, I just want to encourage you, just if you have experienced some rejection, whether it's socially, physically, or spiritually, rejection that you faced, bring it to Jesus. He wants to give you peace. He wants for you to be healed by his wounds. And during this Advent season, during this Christmas season, I want all of us to come to Jesus for his peace. Not looking to everywhere else in the world, looking to Jesus. Coming to Jesus, even when we don't feel like we deserve to. Even when we don't feel like we have all the answers. Even when maybe we feel like we do have all the answers. Jesus wants us to come to him and then rejoice that he came for us. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you, yourself, are our peace, and that we can find peace in you. We pray, Jesus, as we celebrate this Christmas season, that we would experience the peace that you bring, that we would rejoice that you came, that we would rejoice that by your wounds we are healed. And even though we've gone off in our own ways, that you bring us back. And so, Lord, I just pray for each of us that we would examine our hearts and to see where we have gone away, where we have sinned, where we've fallen short of your glory. Lord, convict us of those things and help us to then bring them to you in confession. If there's things, that there's wounds, if there's burdens, if there's things that we want to hang on to, Lord, help us to give them to you. Help us to come to you no matter what, no matter how we feel, giving everything to you, even if we feel unfaithful, unworthy, unwanted, and unloved, that we come to you, that we experience your peace that only you bring, and you heal us by your wounds. In Jesus' name, amen.